This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Last year, during the primaries and the general election, writer and broadcaster Tavis Smiley took flack from some African Americans when he asked them to look at then-candidate Barack Obama with a critical eye. Now, in the middle of President Obama's first 100 days, he's out with a new book where he continues a long-running campaign on accountability that amid the deepening crisis in the economy, in education, the justice system, the environment, and other areas, citizens need to hold those responsible accountable for their actions, beginning with themselves, and then all the way up to the White House, that we need to remain engaged in politics and hold our leaders up to their promises. Later in the program, Dr. Mehmet Oz joins us to tell us what he learned from ER. But first, where does accountability lie? Who do you check up on? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. And click on Talk of the Nation. Tavis Smiley, the writer, broadcaster, political commentator, host of talk shows on PBS and Public Radio International, and the author, along with Stephanie Robinson, of Accountable, Making America as Good as Its Promise. Today he joins us from the studios of member station KXOT in Seattle. And it's great to have you back on Talk of the Nation today.
Neil, as a listener and admirer, always an honor to be on with you. Thanks for the opportunity, friend.
And you say great presidents are made, not born. What do you mean by that?
Well, great presidents are made. They're not born. I think the ground is fertile for Barack Obama to be a great president. Let me start by saying I want him to be a great president. I think Rush Limbaugh may be the only person in the country that wants him to fail. For all kinds of reasons, I want Barack Obama to be a great president, Neil. I think he can be, but only if we help make him a great president. For all the comparisons between Obama and Lincoln, let's be clear about the fact that there is no Abraham Lincoln if there is no Frederick Douglass. Great presidents have to be pushed into their greatness. When you read these so many wonderful texts now about FDR, you see the people around him had to push him into his greatness. I mentioned Lincoln and Douglass. Douglass pushing him into his greatness. The good news is that Abraham Lincoln in part becomes a great president because the ground was fertile because of the Civil War. FDR becomes a great president because the ground was fertile because of the Great Depression. And clearly, I think the ground is fertile for President Obama to be a great president, but only, Neil, if we help make him a great president by holding him accountable, promises made, ought to be promises kept.
How's he doing so far?
I think he's doing good so far. In the first 50 or so days, he's doing pretty good. I think he's being aggressive. He is reassuring Americans that he is on top of the case. He's dealing with the issues that matter most to them, certainly the economy, the healthcare summit having already taken place at the White House. I mean, there are things I can personally quibble with him about. I didn't like some of his cabinet choices. Disappointed that he has decided not to go to the World Conference on Racism. Disappointed that we're sending 17,000 more troops to Afghanistan. We could quibble on those issues, but at the core of your question, how is he doing? I think that he's being aggressive about dealing with these issues. But no matter how well-intentioned presidents are, as you well know, there's a big difference between campaigning and governing. And once you start governing, you start disappointing. And those of us who live in this country that we're so honored to live in have to understand that we do a bad job. Let's be honest about it. As Americans, we really do a bad job. We fall down, we falter, we fail when it comes to follow through. And you don't make the kind of progress we need to make in America now if we're not willing to hold all leaders from Obama on down and ourselves accountable to maximizing this moment that I think, Neil, is so pregnant with possibility.
And that last point you just made, I think, is very important. A lot of people would say accountability has to begin at home, for example, on education. Yes, there has to be reform, and the president's talked about that and challenging some of the unions, all of that. But nevertheless, the primary source of education begins with a parent talking to the student.
Indeed so. In this book does two things to that point, Neil, to your question, rather. Does two things. It lays out everything Obama said as candidate that he would do if elected president. I've always been troubled by the fact that as citizens, and I want to be clear that the most important person in our democracy, as Louis Brandeis said, is that of citizen, not the president, not the speaker, not the majority leader, not the chief justice. The citizen is the most important person in our society. And the problem here is that we surrender too much control as citizens to the body politic, not first being responsible. So the book does, in fact, lay out the promises that Obama made on these major issues, as you already listed, health, education, the environment, run the list. It lays out his promises on these major issues and how we can hold him accountable to those promises made that ought to be kept. But in every chapter of the book, along with the checklist and the report card for the president and other leaders, we tell everyday Americans what they can do, to your point now, what they can do to help advance the causes of these issues. Here's my problem, and this has been the way we've done business in America for too long. Why is it, Neil, that we wait to the end of the first 100 days as citizens for the media to tell us how our president is doing? And by the way, these are the same media people, and I'm obviously a part of it, but these are the same media people who I think got rolled by the Bush administration. Listen, I don't want a media that gets rolled because they're intimidated by one president or infatuated by another president. So as citizens, if we have a text that is in front of us that tells us everything the guy said when he ran that he was going to do on the issues that matter to us, and there's a checklist inside of it, there's a framework for assessment, there's a report card inside the book, and the book tells you what you can do to help maximize this moment. We don't have to wait for the media at 100 days. We can start holding accountable our leaders on day one, since they say they're ready to lead. Well, on day one.
What's the value of an assessment going through the checklist? I just happen to have the one on health care in front of me, and a page full of then-candidate Obama's campaign promises, and then two pages of a checklist on, how you should hold the president accountable, congressmen and congresswomen, governor and state legislators, community leaders, faith-based organizations, and you and I, as you mentioned, that last category. But we're supposed to go through this every 50 days? Who's got time?
You make the time. If you care about a democracy, if you care about this country coming up out of the malaise that we are in, you'd better make the time. This is not for the faint of heart. The president keeps telling us every time he speaks that he wants us to hold him accountable. A year ago, as you referenced earlier in this conversation, I caught some hail. I caught some flack from some inside my community, maybe outside, who didn't want to hear accountability talk. Interestingly, during that time when this Obama smiley drama was brewing in the national media, the candidate at the time, Senator Obama, who's a longtime friend of mine, has worked with my Youth Leadership Foundation for years. He and I, according to my phone log, were on the phone talking to each other at least a half a dozen times. I would call him, he would call me, and we had the same conversations we've always had. Every conversation ended the same way during the height of the campaign and during the height of all this drama. He would say to me, Tavis, at the end of the conversation, you do what you have to do, but I got to do what I got to do. And I said to him, Barack, don't sell your soul, don't surrender your soul, and don't let them steal your soul. If you win and you've surrendered your soul, it won't matter. Every president finds himself during a campaign, I should say every candidate finds himself, as I see it, in a battle of truth versus power. If you're running for president, that's what you're in. You're in a battle of truth versus power. Are you going to be a truth teller or a power grabber? And right now, the American public is craving for leaders who are going to be authentic. We want promises made to be kept. And that's why the president in every speech says, hold me accountable. So let me take your question and turn it on its head in this way, Neil. If your president is telling you in every speech, every statement, to hold me accountable, I can't do it by myself, and there's a checklist in front of you to help hold him accountable. In my own text, some things he said he was going to do, Neil, he's already done. So in my personal copy, there are certain things I've already checked off that he said he was going to do that he, in fact, has done. But if we are going to turn around the mess that we are in, if we're going to, how might I put this? I've been using this term, Neil, the engagement dividend. Obama's campaign, to his credit, engaged so many Americans, many for the first time, others had their sense of democracy renewed. But so many persons have been engaged in this process anew and again because of his wonderfully run, strategically brilliantly run campaign. That said, here's the question. What do we now do, Neil, with this engagement dividend that the country has received? We've learned from the Bush administration, if we know nothing else, that dividends can very quickly become deficits.
You bet.
Take that anywhere you want to take it. My question is, how do we avoid this engagement dividend becoming an engagement deficit? We have got to engage now. If we could get just a percentage of the energy, the enthusiasm, the euphoria, the excitement, just a percentage wrapped around his campaign, applied by the American people to the problems that we face, answering his call to hold him accountable, my goodness, we could get something done over the next 4 or 8 years.
Let's see if we get some listeners in on the conversation. Our guest, of course, you recognize the voice, Tavis Smiley, and let's begin with Mike. Mike is with us from Prescott, Arizona.
How are you doing? I've got to actually agree 100% with what he's saying. we out here in Arizona, out here in the West, have a tendency to be a little more stand-up-ish because our small local governments are not holding values in place that we elected them for. But one of the problems that we see out here is that when we attend meetings, and I'm saying we as like a lot of large organizations that are trying to get politicians to do what we ask them to do, is that the populace doesn't even understand the issues to get the elected official out.
And
so how are we going to do this at a level of national?
It's a powerful question, Neil, and the answer is found in this text. That's exactly what the book is all about. What the media does at the end of 100 days is tell you in short sound bites what they think. They may put a graphic up on the screen. You can follow along, and they assess it very quickly. To the other brilliant question you asked earlier in this conversation, Neil, who has the time to do it? Of course it takes time. Progress always takes time. Progress does not roll in on the wheels of inevitability. Change, for all the talk we heard about change during the campaign, when you think about it, change is inevitable. Growth is optional. We have to choose to grow. We start by being informed. You can't get to accountability unless you are first awake, aware, and alert. There are three other A's before you get to the A of accountability. You got to be awake, you got to be aware, you got to be alert. I don't expect people. I mean, Neil, you and I cover this campaign every day.
Sure.
And we might fail a quiz on certain subject matter. So it's important to give people a text that reminds them or tells them. Some folk were so blinded by the excitement and the hoop and the hype that they don't know what he said. They just know they wanted him to win. Black folk wanted the first black president. I ain't mad at him. But some of us don't even know what he said, even though we might have voted for him because we thought he was the better candidate. That's okay. But now that he's in, let's take the time as citizens to see what he said and whether or not he's doing what he said he was going to do. We don't need to wait 100 days or 4 years to reassess this.
And that's where it comes down to the locals, though, because people aren't holding their local accountable. And if you get the locals to where they have to start realizing, oh, no, I can't take federal grant money and I have to institute these militarized laws on our local police officers, they sit there and say, no, we're not going to do that. Just like some of the states that are kicking back some of the funding back to the government saying, we're not going to take your federal money because there comes these attachments with it that say you have to do certain things to get their money.
Mike, thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it. We're talking with Tavis Smiley today. His new book, Accountable, Making America as Good as Its Promise. Where does accountability lie for you? Who do you check up on? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Many of you know Tavis Smiley as a talk show host and a commentator. Today we're talking about his latest book called Accountable, Making America as Good as Its Promise. In it, he argues that we all must do more to hold politicians in general and President Obama in particular responsible for their actions. To help with that task, he's included several checklists to follow. We've posted one of them on healthcare at npr.org/talk. So where does accountability lie for you? Who do you check up on? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. We got this from Matthew on email. I like the summary of points written on the NPR page regarding this author. Again, that's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. But then he goes on to ask Tavis Smiley, don't you think there are signs that the Obama administration is demonstrating a level of accountability and transparency beyond that we've seen before in the USA?
In one word, yes. I'm very excited, Neil, about this website they've set up called recovery.gov that allows you to follow along with how the money is being spent. This book is not about casting aspersion. It's about holding him accountable to do all that he said he was going to do so that we really can get out of the quagmire that we're in on all of these issues that travail and trouble us. So it's not about demonizing or demagoguing President Obama. He is off, as I said earlier, Neil, I think to a great start, being accountable on many of these issues. There are other issues that concern us. And again, we're just inside of the first 100 days. And when you start again governing beyond campaigning, you will disappoint people. Presidents do need to be reminded of why they're there. All elected officials have to be reminded of why they're there, what they promised they were going to do. We've seen too many examples in this country when we fall down on our responsibility to hold them accountable. We end up in all kinds of mess.
You mentioned earlier you disagreed with his decision to send more troops to Afghanistan. Nevertheless, that is one of the things that he campaigned on. He made no bones about it. He said he was going to increase forces in Afghanistan.
He did indeed. And again, because you vote for someone or support someone doesn't mean that you agree with them on everything. I'm concerned about how we're going to get out of Iraq. Still not clear about that exit strategy, the increase in violence that we've seen over the last week or so, which really coincides with his announcement of plans to withdraw. I'm not sure there's a direct connection in that regard. But that increase, that uptick in violence did concern me. I had on my PBS show last night an exclusive conversation with Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, and we got into some of these issues last night. But again, I think he's off to a good start. Again, no citizen has to agree with the leaders that they support or elect or live under on every issue. But we do have to agree that on the things that matter most to us as Americans, on the things that we are passionate about as citizens, we have to make sure we hold all of them accountable.
Let's talk with Leslie. Leslie, with us from Cincinnati.
Yes. Mr. Smiley, I watch you a lot, and I am a Republican who voted for Obama. Mm-hmm. My father was a Republican. He didn't get to vote this time because he passed, but he voted for the Democrat last time. And I don't see, being an attorney, how you think Obama could possibly do every single thing that he said. And I think he's pushing himself harder than anybody could. If you've ever worked in a bureaucracy, if you put in 150%, you're lucky if you get out 70% satisfaction. And I don't say you're wrong on your book. You may be right. But I'm not going to write Obama a letter every day and blast him because that I don't even watch CNN anymore because it's so idiotic. And I don't know how to get you on PBS on the weekend, and I'll hang up and listen on the air.
Okay, well, check local listings is the answer for that.
I appreciate you for watching the show every night. Thank you very kindly. Again, you know, my point here is I think she's right about the fact that no president is going to get his agenda through. I was in a conversation the other day with my dear friend, my abiding friend and a regular contributor on my program, my PRI program, Dr. Cornel West.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a philosophical thing. Neil, let me just detour for just a second very quick and I'll come back. But Leslie's call makes me think of this. So Dr. West and I had a conversation the other day, Neil, about life and death. And Doc made the point to me in the middle of a conversation over some hot dogs. So I wasn't prepared for this. It came out of the blue. But we're talking about life and death, Neil. And he says to me, Tavis, I think that every one of us ultimately dies a failure. We're talking about success and failure. And it almost choked on my hot dog. I said, because I'm thinking, why do I don't want to die a failure. He was making a philosophical point. His point was that we die failures, and so we shouldn't be too caught up with this notion of success because every one of us is going to die a failure. I said, Doc, unpack that for me. His point was that none of us dies having done everything we wanted to do. There are always going to be things on our list that we didn't get done, projects that we didn't get to. So life is about living it to its fullest, but not trying with everything we do to think that somehow we're going to get out of here alive, because we're not, and we're not going to get everything done. I only raise that as a philosophical backstory to the point I want to make now, which is I agree with Leslie. There's no way that any president ever gets anything done that he wants done, even if he has 8 years. You can't get it all done. But Leslie, the question I would ask is, how do we help him get as close to 100% as he can get? That doesn't happen if we don't push him, if we don't pull him, if we don't cajole him, if we abandon our post, if we are not the wind at his back. He's a big boy. He can handle this. But we have to push him, as every great president, again, has to be pushed into their greatness. It's not going to just happen. So, again, I'm not here saying beat up Obama, send him a letter every day, call him, cuss him out. I'm not saying that. I'm saying let's be aware of what he said. Let's hold him to what he said, and let's push him. Let's be the wind at his back so that we maximize this moment. That's my only point, and that's what accountable is all about.
And have you continued to have your conversations with President Obama since he became president?
We have indeed. Two Saturdays ago now, at our annual State of the Black Union, many of you see this on C-SPAN every year, it has become the preeminent conversation in America every year during the month of February. We bring together the nation's leading black thinkers and thought leaders, opinion makers, influencers for a day of dialogue called the State of the Black Union. Every February, C-SPAN has carried it live for 10 years. And we had that conversation on C-SPAN 2 weeks ago on our 10th anniversary of these conversations. The president could not be with us, but he joined us via satellite from the White House. And he talked about the work that we are doing around accountability. He talked about the book, referenced the subtitle of the book in his remarks, Making America a Nation as Good as Its Promise, and went on to talk about accountability. I think, Neil, that he understands what we're talking about in this book. And speaking of that subtitle that he invoked in his talk, Making America as Good as Its Promise, from his speech from the White House via satellite, the problem is, and the reason why this book, Accountable, is so important is that I don't want us to get stuck just on celebrating the historic symbolism of his victory and never get around to the substance. Again, never get around to maximizing this moment that's pregnant with possibility. And here's the problem. In America, even with a black man in the White House, there is still, Neil, a gap between the promise of America and the possibility in America for everyday people. That gap between the promise and the possibility has got to be shrunk. It's got to be dissipated. Too many Americans every day still have their humanity contested, too much contested humanity in America. That is the cause of this gap between the promise and the possibility. I want to shrink that gap, and I think you shrink the gap between the promise and the possibility by holding all leaders and ourselves accountable once and for all.
And do you see yourself as Barack Obama's Frederick Douglass?
I think that I see myself in part as Frederick Douglass, but again, I don't put all this on my shoulder. I'm just one citizen like everybody else. Yes, I have a microphone. Yes, I have a TV camera. But again, if you're waiting on me or the media to lead you out of this quagmire, you better think again. Again, the media are the same people I think that were intimidated, got rolled by the Bush administration. I don't want to be intimidated by one president, or as I said earlier, or infatuated by another. I'm just trying to play a small role, and I could not live with myself as a black man who celebrates this president, who revels in his victory. I say that. I want to hold him accountable, yes. And I think as media people, Neil, that's our job on NPR and beyond, to raise issues, to ask questions, to profile people who are going to help him get into his greatness as a president by holding him accountable, because there's honor in accountability. I think the media has a role to play in that, but I'm just one person in the media, and I recognize that, and I don't think of myself as any more than just one citizen.
Let's get Mike on the line. Mike calling from Kalamazoo.
Yes, I just think that it's important to recognize that accountability cannot end when a public official's term expires, and on that level, President Obama, in regards to the possible criminal activities of the Bush administration, talks about let's look forward, not backwards. Wouldn't every criminal love that?
I think, Neil, I think the caller is absolutely right. Here again, one of the issues, I respect Barack Obama. He's my friend. I love him. Want him to do well. But I think he's right about this, the caller, that is. I think President Obama obviously wants to focus on the work that needs to be done. But there were some abuses by this last administration, and that's not to cast aspersion on the president, former President Bush. It's to tell the truth. We need more truth tellers. They got away with lying and spying and torture and stealing and obfuscating. Too much of that they're getting away with. And so I'm not suggesting President Obama has the time to engage himself in a witch hunt. But I do believe that Congress certainly has a role to play in these investigations and making sure that all leaders are held accountable. And I think the caller could not be more right. As we say in the black church, amen.
Nevertheless, doesn't that suggest that 4 years from now, 8 years from now, whenever that happens, if there's a change of administration and Republicans come into office, if that happens, the first thing they're going to do is spend time going over whatever they can find criminal in the Obama administration?
Two things, Neil. If Barack Obama behaves anywhere near, put another way, if he misbehaves anywhere near the way George Bush and his administration did, one, he would deserve it. Number two, he would have let down every American who bought into his message of hope and change. Number three, I don't expect that to be the case, given the kind of person he is, given his character.
Oh, I bet they could find something.
Oh, of course they could. You can always look and try to find something. I think we have a president of character here, of integrity, of decency. I don't expect that, and I hope that he understands that he's got to be way above that fray. I can also tell you this. I was talking to an audience a couple of days ago, an audience primarily of African-Americans, Neil, and I was making the point to them, and we know this full well. Every black person under the sound of my voice and yours right now has heard this his entire life from an adult. If you're black in America, you better work twice as hard, and you better be twice as good or twice as smart. The bottom line is this. If Barack Obama succeeds, there is the chance that somewhere down the road, another person of color, a woman one day, will be president. But, Neil, if he fails, it may be another 400 years before we get an African-American president. Barack Obama understands that. He's intent on succeeding, I believe, and we got to help him.
Mike, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And here's an email from Mark in Frankfort, Kentucky. How much slack on the details should we give the president for promising things on the campaign trail? Priorities have changed. He has access to more information as president than he had as candidate, and external forces may limit what he can realistically do.
Couldn't agree more. And that's why in every chapter, once we tell you what he promised, we give you a framework for assessment. Before you get to the checklist, before you get to the report card in the book, Accountable, there is a framework for assessment precisely because, Neil, we do understand that things change. I said earlier in this conversation, some things he promised to do, he's already done. Other things, like the economy, are shifting and changing every single day. But there are still some basic fundamentals, some rudimentary facts that he laid out for us that he does need to be held accountable to. But the caller's right, I mean, the email person.
He campaigned against the idea of so-called pork earmarks. Yesterday, he signed a $410 billion spending bill, all right, written last year, but nevertheless, he's signing it. He's the president now. Should he have vetoed that measure as John McCain wanted him to?
I'm not sure he should have vetoed it, but I think John McCain is right about the earmarks, and I hope that in the budget that this president, Obama, has now sent to Congress, that he is much more, shall we say, aggressive on the issue of earmarks. But McCain on that issue is absolutely right. You can't fade him on that. You can't argue him on that. He is right on this earmarks issue, and let's hope that President Obama agrees with McCain on that issue. And going forward on his watch, we don't get caught up with all these earmarks. Again, that website, recovery.gov, allows us to transparently or more transparently see how the money is being spent. And I think he'll do better on the earmarks on his budget as compared to the one that was put up last year.
Accountable is the name of the book, Making America as Good as Its Promise. Its author is Tavis Smiley, along with Stephanie Robinson. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go to Gregory. Gregory calling from Milwaukee.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Mr. Smiley, I'm so appreciative of the fact that you're using this theme of accountability, because I think it's important, because Barack Obama, as a campaigner, made a lot of promises, and I think having some integrity in terms of his promises helps the process. In other words, when a person is going from candidate to president, I think us keeping them accountable will help future candidates maybe make less promises and be a little bit more genuine in terms of what they say they're going to do. If we start making them accountable now, then future candidates will know that they can't, on the campaign trail, just say anything. And just to give you an example, listening to Hillary Clinton and listening to John McCain, they were being more political than they were being genuine. And I just knew that they weren't going to be able, if they were president, they were not going to be able to keep their word on many of those things. They just wanted to win in the moment. So I'm appreciative about making the candidates, making the president accountable, because I think it helps the process in the future.
And that's one of the issues you address in your book on democracy.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
And Neil, you said it best at the top of the conversation, that accountability has to start somewhere. And he's right, that long term, if we can ever get ourselves out of this of the old way of doing business, which is to let folk tell us anything, to not ask any questions, maybe until they come back for re-election. There's a reason why in high school we all learned in our government classes about what's called, Neil, as you know, the incumbency effect. Once you get in, you basically stay in. You die in office. And that's why it becomes such a huge news story here on NPR and throughout the media. When some long-term incumbent gets toppled, it becomes a huge story, because think about this, we've become so accepting of the fact that once you're in for life. Politicians, elected officials, are not Supreme Court justices. They're not necessarily signing up for a lifetime job. We have to hold them accountable to do again what we want done as American citizens. And if we can ever get ourselves, Neil, on a track, get ourselves in a new mindset, a new framework for assessing accountability, I think that long-term democracy itself is benefited by that.
Thanks very much, Gregory. We just have a minute or so left with you, Tavis, and I wanted to give you a chance. If you read this book, obviously you're addressing America's problems, so let's begin there. But if you read this book, you come away with a pretty grim picture of America. You read the chapter on education, for example, or on health care. Not that these are not serious problems, but a lot of that campaign was also about hope.
It is about hope, but hope needs help. Even hope needs help, and we are the help that hope needs. Barack Obama provided a beautiful vision. The Bible that I read says that where there is no vision, the people perish. We perish when somebody doesn't give us a vision that we can believe in. Barack Obama has provided a vision. He's given us something to believe in. He's talked about hope, which I think needs help. He's talked about change, which I think is inevitable. We want to grow. But he set the bar high. I like that. I close by where I began. I want him to be a great president. I believe he can be, but only if we help make him a great president there. That is to say, all of our leaders, their accountability is our responsibility. Things look bad now, but that's where hope comes in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Even when you can't see it, even when you don't have the evidence, we hope, we believe as Americans for a brighter day, and that day will come only when we hold our leaders, Neil, accountable. And I thank you for the opportunity to be on today.
Tavis, we appreciate your time. Tavis Smiley, author, journalist, and political commentator, his most recent book, Accountable, Making America as Good as Its Promise, with us today from member station KXOT in Seattle, Washington. Up next, so many people watched ER on TV that Dr. Mehmet Oz says it changed the practice of medicine. We all feel like we went to med school now. We'll talk with Dr. Oz about what ER taught him. If you work in an ER, well, how did it change the way you practice medicine? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. Stay with us. Talk of the Nation, NPR News.